So the agreements we're making when we practice Jnana Yoga or study a text like the Bhagavad Gita from the perspective of Jnana Yoga is that, is it true? And what is the difference between what we believe and what we're experiencing and what the verse is saying? And we're studying those three and their interrelationship. So this is verse 3 of chapter 17. The faith of everyone is according to their inherent nature, their natural temperament. A person is basically made up of her faith. As her faith is, so indeed is she. Her life is shaped by her faith. The faith of everyone is according to their inherent nature, their natural temperament. A person is basically made up of her faith. As her faith is, so indeed is she. Her life is shaped by her faith. So the first word that really starts to work its way, at least for me, is faith. That's the most triggering word when I study a verse like this. It's the verse that calls to action my beliefs, my past experiences. And I always like to reference the Sanskrit, because I think the Sanskrit actually helps sometimes, because the Sanskrit word isn't actually the English word. The Sanskrit word is Shraddha. Shraddha. Just say it a couple times in your mind. Shraddha. It has a different feel to it than faith. And if we're just trying to just notice the sensations you got when you just said a word like faith, there's something airy about it. There's something lofty about it. Despite what we culturally know for that word to mean, the actual sound of the word. Because in Sanskrit, as an ancient language, what the Gita is written in, the sounds of the words carry meaning. That's why a powerful way is to practice is to chant these. Shraddha. It's guttural. You can feel it in your core, feel it in your belly. It's a little more grounded. Another word that you could think of Shraddha would be trust. Just try trust. What does that word feel to you? Again, not trying to, I know you can't really escape the cultural meanings behind these words, but the word trust, for me at least, has a sense of stability. There's some structure there. But again, it sort of has this innate sterility to it. It's very clean, a word like trust. But Shraddha, to me, has a deeper, again, more earthy quality. It's more life-giving. It's the quality of the sound. And so just with these little bit of like intuitive or innate sense that you get when you hear the word or say the word in your own mind, we get a little more than just faith and trust. And that's going to help us decipher some of this verse. The faith of everyone is according to their inherent nature. Inherent nature here is sattva. Sattva. You may have heard that before. Is the word sat means existence. It means the fundamental core of your being. Sat. It's very clear. It's very steady. It's fundamental. And so, fundamental to who you are, what you are as a being, So inherent, according to their inherent nature, is in accordance. It's in accordance. It means the type of faith or trust, what you put your chips in to, what you're going to go on, is inherent. You cannot program this in, and it cannot be programmed into you. Now, why is this useful for spiritual work? For me, it's part of surrender. It's part of letting go. It's part of being willing to trust. That if I'm meant to get somewhere, if I'm meant to have an awakening, have some kind of grand freedom from suffering, my inherent nature will lead me there. I can't screw it up. I can't fail when we think of it this way. It's inherent. It's part of my nature. It's part of who I am. And conversely, which is also quite relieving, is that what if I'm not meant to have this grand awakening, this ultimate freedom? It means I was never meant to have it in the first place. And so I didn't quite fail. I was just hanging out, reading this stuff for a little while. It was a passing phase. An awkward phase in my story. But I wasn't really committed to it. It's not part of my nature. So when you practice this, that little bit of this verse, it's like, what do you think? Where does it sit with you? Maybe you have just new coming to this sort of work, but maybe you've been on this path your whole life. If you look at it from another lens, it's been this way always. It's the type of topics you liked having with your friends. It's the type of television shows you like to watch. The type of music you listen to has this innate sort of deeper meaning, this deeper seeking, this wanting to know, philosophy, meaning of life. Wanting to know more than what's just whatever else someone else is about. That's what I mean by maybe it's been your nature all along, it's just now it's taking the form of Bhagavad Gita, Jnana Yoga. But it's kind of always been there. And we can also then assume that if listening to this verse, that if it's a part of our nature, it's going to always be there. It may grow, it may evolve, it may develop, it may be nurtured. But in fact, our nature, our desire to be with this, to seek this, to come to an understanding and a wisdom of it, is inescapable, because it's what we are. Just take a moment. Is there some truth in that for you? And if maybe the answer is no, start to feel into what is true for you. What's part of your nature? So important, you could not take it away. It goes on to say that we are essentially made up of this faith, this Shraddha. It's part of our nature. And we're made up of it. What that means is that we are making choices for it, apparent choices, regardless of the internal conflict we may be seeing. So a very common one is, let's say, something that people will easily put in conflict with their spiritual seeking. Money. Or power. These are the classic things that we would maybe seem to be in conflict with spiritual growth or spiritual seeking. But for a person who's really seeking money or power in their inherent nature, are they busying themselves with this? So perhaps that's just some of the programming on top. And maybe the need for money or the need to feel powerful or safe or secure has some you know, vestigial truth in your being, but it might not be the number one priority. I think, as we've learned in other verses, that if you're really going to take this Jnana Yoga thing to heart, the spiritual seeking thing, the desire for the truth, the ultimate freedom, the grand awakening of what you are, it kind of needs to be on the top of the list. You can't just, you know, you can't hobby this one. You can't do it in your off time. It needs to be the leisure. It needs to be the bulk of the work. It needs to be pretty high on the priority list. And the great part about it is, that's either what you're going to be into or not. And for the Gita, that's totally cool. If you're totally into it, number one priority, because that's who you are, that's great. And if it's not, that's also great. It's just about getting in alignment with what's getting in accord with who you are. And so when you try to wrestle this number one priority, this deep seeking, this deep yearning for truth, or who you are, or awakening, or spiritual freedom, when you wrestle that conflict against things like money, or power, or responsibility to worldly affairs, whether that's family, or a business, or whatever it may be, responsibility is another one. I guess the last thing that you could really probably prioritize would be like sense pleasures. To use the Vedas, they have the sort of the four aims of your life. The sense pleasures, this wealth and security, which is where power is, and then your responsibility, which is also part of power, depending on what your responsibilities are. And then at the top is moksha, is the spiritual freedom. And that based on your nature, that list is already kind of being decided for you. You don't get to choose which ones are most important to you. If you try to make one of the other ones more important than what you truly value, you will face inner conflict. If you try to put money as your main deciding decision maker, but in fact spiritual freedom is what is most important to you in this life, the moments, the minutes you're going to spend living, you will subvert your own attempt to prioritize money. Maybe you know this experience, that no matter how much you try to put even your own responsibilities, that if you are truly meant to wake up, and that's the number one thing, even the responsibilities will fall into their natural place. So again, who is there to mess this up? That's what they mean by you are inherently your faith. That's all you are. Your faith, your trust in what is most important. So if you're going to pick yourself up by your bootstraps and make a name for yourself and a little corner of the universe just for you, that's your dominion, you have faith in that. That by being a working class hero is what you're going to do, and that's how it's going to be. And you're going to trust that. You're going to trust your own, in Yiddish, it's chutzpah. You trust your own chutzpah. But if you're after something, no offense, but bigger, and by bigger I just mean way, way bigger, which is the release into all that there is, eventually it'll take over. It'll push out the little dweebling that is trying to pick themselves up by their bootstraps, because it just does not compare. It does not compare only if you're truly after spiritual freedom as the number one goal. And if you're not after spiritual freedom as your number one goal, you don't care about what I'm saying. You're not wasting your time with it. You've got other priorities. You've got more realistic beliefs, or whatever. I don't know how they rationalize it to themselves, but I'm not one of them. But if the spiritual freedom's the top priority, the other things can't compete. It's just so much bigger. So much bigger. And so, you're made up of the faith. You are the faith. And your life story is going to be shaped by that. It's going to be shaped by what you inherently are going to believe in. If you believe that there is a natural order, a natural working to this universe, that there is a way that this life can be lived that does not require pain and sorrow and suffering and endless amounts of stress, you will find that source. The Gita says it's here. The Gita tells you that these verses. And maybe if you hear that, that there's a way to live this life that is free and at peace, is truthful. It's not like delusions of grandeur or ignorance is bliss. It's not like you're hiding away from the troubles of the world. We're talking, as a matter of fact, you've completely enveloped all the troubles, all the grand accomplishments, everything. So much. You've swallowed up so much, there's nothing left to compete with. There's nothing left to be in conflict with. There's just the freedom of being. There's no separation from your own being. As you slowly start to identify less and less with the individual, the body-mind, in this big world of conflict, and you start to realize, again, if you're seeking spiritual freedom, the truth that you're in fact all of it. There's nothing other than your beingness. There's nothing different from your beingness. This is a unavoidable if you're meant to get there. And if you're not meant to get there, eventually you'll stop caring and you'll start busying yourself with other conflicts. I'll give you one last example how we would see it from this perspective, looking down, so to speak, if you're still seeking and looking up. Classic non-dual metaphor is that they say the snake is really a rope, and eventually you stop believing that the snake is a... you stop believing that the rope is a snake. You realize that that snake is in fact just a rope. So the rope in this metaphor is the truth of what really is. And the snake is your individual projections and perceptions of what you think the rope is. So in this example, it's believing that the rope, the universe, is inherently an unsafe place. That you are in conflict with it is dangerous, and it can hurt you, whatever you define you as. But in fact, it's not a snake. It's not a dangerous place. It can't hurt you. It's a rope. It's the universe. It's what you are. But because you think it's a snake, you change your behavior. You don't interact with a rope. You treat it like a snake. You avoid it. You cross the street. You stay away from the rope because you're afraid it's actually a snake. It actually alters your behavior. And so if you believe that the world is a dangerous place, some people need to make something of themselves, and what's mine is mine, I gotta make sure I protect it from other people because the world's a snake, not a rope, you will behave accordingly. If you know that maybe deep down, inherent in your nature, your Shraddha tells you, I don't really believe it's that dangerous, that there's something more to this, that snake, there's something about that snake. I never actually quite get bit by it. It's never been so bad. Slowly but surely, your faith in that dispels the other beliefs, the faith in the false beliefs, the faith in what makes you think it's a snake. And eventually it's revealed that it's a rope. And what often happens for a person who's really meant to see that it's a rope instead of a snake, that there's things that are being set up, whether it's by you unconsciously or by the grand scheme of things, who knows, that let's say in the metaphor, to build our metaphor, that you've got a donkey and you need to tie the donkey to your cart. And someone says, hey, the guru says, hey, you got a rope right there. Just pick that rope up. You can tie the donkey to your cart and you can get on your way. And you say, oh, no. That's not a rope. That's a snake. I'm not going near that. And the guru is staring you dead in the eye and he's telling you, she's telling you, the universe is telling you, no, no, that's not a snake. It's a rope, and if you just pick up that rope, you can tie your donkey to the cart and you can get on with your way. And then your Shraddha. Your Shraddha. That will be... It'll feel maybe like a choice or a decision, but in fact it's nothing like that. You're either going to realize that it's a rope, or you're going to try and get yourself away from the snake. And it won't matter that it was ever a rope. You'll create a whole life for yourself, protecting yourself from snakes. The faith of everyone is according to their inherent nature, their natural temperament. A person is basically made up of her faith. As her faith is, so indeed is she. Her life is shaped by her faith.